Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
Welcome to another episode. So today I was joined by Ricky at RickM18. We talked about mainly about the list. Obviously, we touched on the delistings that happened yesterday at the club, and we just went through a bit of a list analysis, talked about a few individual players that you guys, you listeners, have got a lot of questions about. So I'm just going to put Rick on now.
Joined by Ricky, expert list analysis. Oh, so he says on his website anyway, but I've been a big fan of your work, Ricky, for a while. Looking back at the start of the season and the list we assembled, is it a surprise we finished last?
The part that I always think about is just the amount of injuries and what would have happened if there was a full list from the start of the year. I think either way, it probably would have been bottom four. I remember writing at the start of the season. Be patient. It's going to be a frustrating year. I would have thought it was bottom four regardless. And then the injuries kind of, by the time players started getting back and everything started getting into the flow of things, it was a bit too much ground to make up. But
100%.
I think by the end of the year, people could see what the club was trying to do. And I think given the state, no one was expecting finals or anything. So
no, definitely.
So
what are some of the key areas, in your opinion, that we failed in, you think, that we really struggled in, I should say?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's interesting, like, what constitutes failing. I mean, to me, fail would be something like, say, Carlton's year or St Kilda's year, where they had higher hopes and fell a long way short. I mean, to me, a lot of that first half of the year was, you see a lot of trial and error. Like, does this work? No. Does this work? No. Okay. Yeah. Bin that one, scratch that. Does this work? Okay. We're getting a bit of joy here. Like something like Zeeble playing back and Aaron Hall going to half back. I think what we struggled with a lot in the first half of the year was just finding that optimum pace of ball movement. You can see it a lot in the preseason. It was very quick. And very wide in terms of using the full width of the ground, which left us exposed a lot. And then there'd be times where they try to overcorrect and then they go a bit too slow and then not be able to threaten at all. I think that was the main one in the first half of the year. Everything sort of flowed off the back of that. And just we struggled to score. As the year went on, we sort of found a bit of a better balance, a bit more continuity. And then everything sort of flowed from there. But that ball movement took quite a while to at least bed down the foundations of it, I reckon. And you can all see how it played out.
Yeah, I mean, it was sort of like, watch the preseason games, like even earlier, you could sort of sense they were probably going a bit too attacking. Like it was just trying to attack the corridor all the time. And some of our players don't have the greatest skills, over the course of their careers. So, like you said, as the season went on, the balance got a lot better. So, what were some of the key areas we were actually good in? Did you find anything that, did you find anything that we were actually good in?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I think the way that, the whole year was a year of discovery. I think I probably typed that about 100 times and probably drove everyone nuts that was reading Chimbone throughout the year. But it was all about discovery, right? And then by the end of the year, you're coming out and you're looking at that midfield rotation and you're looking, obviously Cunnington's the ever-present, but you've got Simpkin, you've got LDU, you've got Tarrant Thomas, you've got Power showed a bit. Phillips will only be better. You hope he'll take a leap next year, I would imagine, with a full preseason. You're going to have Horn Francis coming in. You can see that the foundation, the building blocks of what should be a 10-year midfield. Balance between inside and out. And I mean, the way the game is trending nowadays, you need to have those sort of five or six A-plus players, or at the very least A-grade players. You look at Melbourne, you look at Bulldogs, you look at Richmond. They all have that top-tier talent and supplemented by the guys that can play their roles.
Definitely.
Oliver, Petrarca, Gorn, those types that can just tear a game to shreds. And by the looks of it from the outside, it looks like North thinks that Simpkin, Horn Francis, Thomas, LDU can be that quartet
Yeah. I mean, we've got Will Phillips, Tom Powell as well. So, I mean, this day and age, it's not like football in the 90s, like I said before, where you just have the four players in the centre square and that's it for the whole game. There's a good 8 to 10 players that go through there during the course of a game. So, we've obviously built a list lately through midfield. But we're probably a bit short in other areas, which we'll get to. Which players, like besides the obvious, did any players really surprise you this year that stepped up?
I guess it depends which week. I mean, I never expected. I mean, I've always liked Aaron Hall, but I always thought he'd be one of those guys like, he's got the talent, but
yeah,
you know, just like what could have been, that type of thing. I didn't think he'd take to that halfback role as well as he did. I mean,
no, I don't think anyone's seen that coming.
And especially like after his first couple of years and in the last couple of years at Gold Coast, where you think, well, you play a couple of good weeks and you'd be like, yeah, okay, well, those were a couple of good weeks, but and then you just drop off. And he just kept going and at that role and at that level. And I think it shows what the coaching staff and how they're getting through to players and how they're basically making them feel appreciated and making them feel wanted. And confidence is such a big thing. It's such an intangible. I mean, I know the analysis a lot, but you can't measure confidence.
No, that's right.
And the way the coaching staff have given it to the likes of Hall, the likes of Zeebs playing back, likes of Kane Turner, and just basically giving the confidence, going, look, you're important. This is the role we want you to play.
Yeah, and
they've just taken to it. I mean, and Kano becoming our number one small defender. I mean, has also solved a few problems, but then also made a couple of other list decisions.
Based on that, yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, what do you think the club need to improve in to get to that next level? Is it just a case of getting more games into the kids? Do you think? Because we are very inexperienced at the moment, aren't we? So,
yeah, absolutely. And I mean, and gone even more inexperienced with the cuts that have been made over the last few weeks. I mean, obviously we've got to get games into the younger blokes. And then in turn with that, I think once the midfield rotation is sort of bedded down and locked in terms of who's your first tier midfield minutes, who has your second tier midfield minutes, because those second tier blokes will spend a lot more time in the forward line, either playing as a small forward or a half forward pushing up. And then once that's all locked in, then the forward pressure comes into it, the forward structure and locking things into your forward half. I mean, I think we all saw, as in that sort of 6 to 7 week stretch in the back half of the year, we saw the ball movement improve and we were able to get some scores that way. But we weren't really locking it in that forward half as much as a good team would, or as much as a good team wants to.
Yeah.
And once we do that, then you've got more avenues to score and you're not always relying on your ball movement from your back half, which is, I mean, it's just unsustainable. You can't do that.
No, that's right.
Expect to be even an 8-win team, let alone a finals team, which is obviously what they're building for. That forward pressure, whether that's rectified through the draft, whether it's rectified through a couple of positional changes, I would very much like to see Jed Anderson start in that forward line, that forward 6 or 7, and then have those second tier midfield minutes. That's the big one for me in terms of an area of improvement, because
sorry to cut you off. Yeah, there was a game where Jed, I think he came back from injury and he did play a game on half forward. It might have been against Carlton when we won, but I think Cunnington might have missed the next week and then he went back into the midfield. So I think they're probably looking at maybe even a Jed Anderson playing half forward next year. That's as far as I understand. So, yeah, he'd probably be that good pressure and forward that we're sort of craving for at the moment.
I think so as well. I mean, because we saw Spicer play that last game and showed some good offensive things, but I think defensively, which isn't a surprise to anyone and not meant as a criticism, it was still a way off. He just fell asleep a few times, which is completely understandable considering it was probably – that game probably was more of a reward for the work he's put in rather than you're actually ready to be part of our best 22 to 25.
Yeah, yeah.
Meant as a taste of something to keep him motivated over the summer. I mean, if you look at our depth chart in terms of small forwards, I mean, it's probably Marnie and Spicer really at the moment, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like in terms of genuine small forwards on the list. So, you definitely need to rectify that, sure.
Yeah. All right, Ricky. Well, I've given you a few half volleys outside off stump. So I want to get I want to talk to you about Demont, Attlee, Campbell, and Ham. Why were they delisted?
Ham's an interesting one, actually. Yeah. I mean, I guess none of us can claim to see much of him play. So for 6 months and played, I think, 4 VFL games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's gone either two ways. Either they've seen his training work and seen him around the group and thought, okay, he's still a long way off, or they've identified other blokes who either in the draft or the rookie draft or delisted free agents that they think, those guys are better value to our list than Ham. And that happens. I mean, it happens a lot of times where clubs get guys in a draft and a rookie draft and realize pretty quickly that, okay, no, he's not actually up to the standard.
Yeah, 100%.
At this point anyway. So Campbell, I think once Cherry stayed, I think the writing was on the wall for Campbell in terms of a senior list spot. I mean, I'd be stunned if he didn't stick around in the VFL side. But by the looks of it, he seems to be extremely popular.
Yeah.
Well liked, has a lot to offer. Even when you think about it, he plays in the VFL side, he helps out the guys like, still help out Cherry in the VFL side, he can still help out Jacob Edwards, assuming he plays VFL as well. I wouldn't be surprised to see him as like a part time ruck coach or something like that. I'd be, stunned if he wasn't still around the club in some capacity next year, even though he won't have a senior this spot. Which leaves Demont and
Attlee.
I mean, I'm biased towards both of them because when I was working at the club, they were there. And most of, when Froggy was doing his apprenticeship at VFL level in North Ballarat, I was there for most of the games. Freezing in what felt like -4 degrees in Ballarat. With the wind and the hail and the sleet, and it's just like it's the last place you want to be. On a Saturday afternoon, but I think it's just a case of time for Froggy. If he comes out of contract at the end of last year, he probably gets a 2-year deal. I mean, and
did he look, just going field, just sticking with that? Did he regress that much from 2020 to 2021 that he can't even find a club?
I'd be stunned if he didn't find a club somewhere.
I agree.
I thought that he'd go straight to Adelaide, to be honest. And then they re-signed Matt Crouch, and then they got Jordan Dawson as well. And then all of a sudden there's not – I mean, but then, I didn't think – now that could have taken his spot, but then I see the other day that Matt Crouch had more surgery on his groins, so maybe they still take him. I mean, I'm not 100% sure how he fits in that port side in terms of can you have Wines and Boak and Demont the same on-ball lineup. I don't know. They're a bit – it's a bit samey and but I think it's just a case of terrible timing for him in terms of having the injury and coming back, and then once you have interrupted preseason to the extent that he has and missed the games, like all the players are just pushing uphill. You're struggling.
Did he have a different role this year? Because he was playing a lot more wing as opposed to right in the center square.
Yeah, he played a lot of wing in 2019. How do you judge last year? Last year was just such a complete cluster. From what I could see on the TV, obviously we get to games when he was playing, it looked pretty similar in terms of a little bit of on ball, but mainly wing. But then again, you look at the rest of the midfield rotation coming on, combined with Luke McDonald coming up to a wing as well. And it's just like, where does he play? Do you want him having midfield minutes ahead of some of the younger guys, or do you want to prioritize minutes to those younger guys ahead of Froggy? That's all.
He's still only 26, isn't he? So
exactly. Yeah. It's weird because I mean he's your training, you set the standards, he works hard, he does all that, all that sort of thing, which is a great example. Who are the younger guys coming through? But then I guess you look at it, and I mean, from next year, like, you know, Simpkin isn't, obviously he's not old, but he's a leader now. He's not one of the young brigade. He's prime time now. And he's already a very good AFL midfielder, which is probably flown under the cracks, I think, outside North fans. And is Simpkin sort of taking over a bit more of those responsibilities? And I think, well, what's the point of keeping Froggy as depth when we can potentially let him go to get something, to get, you know, more opportunity elsewhere, and we can prioritize younger guys. Flat for him, considering he's a great guy, and it's just a terrible time. And the same for Atts. He's just a great guy. I mean, I know he's hasn't tended to be the most popular.
Not amongst
North fans. I can understand, but I mean, we were never obviously best of mates, obviously staff or player, but he's a good human. And works hard and did his role and did what was asked of him. And, 230 odd games in the number 18. I cut my hand off if you gave me that career right now.
100%. I think that gets lost a lot with this, like that people forget that they are actually human beings and they've, you know, this is their job and this has been their life for the last, for God knows how long. And it's just been cut short. Like, you wouldn't think Attlee at 28, 29 is probably football career's done. So, with Kane Turner sort of taking his role, it sort of probably put a nail in his coffin a little bit, because he did get dropped for the last few weeks and timing, didn't have a contract as well, like you said, with a couple of other players. So, it's just one of those things.
It happens as well, Fats. You played, the first 17 games or something like that, or 17 of the first 18 or something like that. And then you're bubbling along in the background. You've got Kano becoming that defender. You've got Artu, who showed a bit when he moved back. Obviously, there's still hot hopes for Kyron Hayden if he can stay on the park. And all of a sudden, you've got three small defenders in a much more acceptable age range for where North want to be. And then you look at that, and they look at that and think, well, do we keep a 30-year-old as a backup small defender, where it's something that's, I guess, more easily findable than, say, a key position player? And
100%
to let him go, which is tough for him, because like I said, his career's over. He's gone from best 22 to career over in the space of 6 weeks.
Yeah, now he's got to think of something else to do with his life, possibly. So it does get lost a bit. It's like me or you, if 6 weeks ago, we're on top of the world with our jobs, and then 6 weeks later we've made redundant because of COVID or something like that, it changes a lot of things. So, I want to talk to you about Jared Polak. What does he need to do to improve in 2022? Because much maligned, obviously had a hamstring injury early this year, which kept him out for a number of weeks. But he hasn't looked like the same player since he's pretty much crossed from Port Adelaide. I thought his first year was okay without being great. Last year he was going along okay, and then he got dropped after that Carlton game where he was close to the best on ground. It kind of hasn't been the same since.
So, I think he was it's interesting how different players mesh with different coaches. I mean, this isn't any inside info at all, but I think we could all tell from the outside that Polek's strengths and what Reshaw wanted from him were worlds apart. We have like Tasmania to Perth type distance. And I mean, for what Polek is, like, he's a good player if he plays to his strengths. I mean, I think a lot of the times we all tend to focus on what players can't do rather than maximizing the strengths of what they can do. But then also, having said that, he's missed the first half of this year. And then I guess in some respects, it's kind of like Froggy, where you look at it and you go, well, where does he fit in the best sort of 6 to 7 midfielders / on-ballers / wingers? I mean, if you look at our – I mean, he's a winger.
100%.
Maybe Like he hasn't really shown much in terms of being able to play on a off a forward flank or a back flank. So you think he's a winger.
Yeah.
And then you look at guys that have played on the wing. You've got McDonald, you've got Steve-O, you've got Curtis Taylor. Simpkins can spend some time on the wing. Thomas can spend some time on the wing. I'd imagine Horn Francis will spend some time on the wing.
Yeah.
To start off with, along with half forward going into on ball. I assume they want Lazaro to spend time on the wing as well. And I think where Froggy's timing and Atz's timing being out of contract was terrible for them. And I think the only thing that saved Polek was he's got 2 more years on his deal.
Yeah. Are you surprised no other club went for him?
It's hard to know without knowing exactly how much he's on.
Yeah, I think he's on it.
Yeah, I know the Times and reports where that the contract was front ended. Yeah, whether that means he's just on a standard kind of average type wage now or below average.
No.
And whether North would be, I mean, if he went somewhere, it'd be like a token pick, really. It'd be like
you wouldn't get anything for him. You'd just be trying to dump some of his salary, I'd say. So
yeah.
Yeah, so
I'd imagine North are in a spot where there's plenty of salary cap room, so they don't feel like they have to get him off the books.
There's no pressure. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be stunned if he starts the year in the best 25.
No.
But if he does, that means he's sort of rediscovered what made him tick in terms of meters gained on a wing, attacking. I think the optimal version of him can help any side. It's just a matter of whether that's too far gone for him and whether he has too many players to work past to get into that best 22 and get games. So I think it could end up being like a Dom Tyson type of situation where it's kind of, well, it's like, I think this time's done, but you just got to sort of wait it out. I hope it doesn't, but that seems to be the way it's going at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, from what even watching him this year, he looks like a player. I don't know if he ever really wanted to come to the club. Like, I think the deal was just too good to refuse. He looked like he had a good role at Port Adelaide, but, you know, you're only in football for a short amount of time, and he probably thought, well, I might as well take it while I've got the opportunity, you know. So I'm not sure if he ever really wanted to come, but I think the deal was just too good to be there. And even some games this year, judging by body language, he just looked a bit disinterested. So it's something he's got to work on, I think. So to actually, like you said, I think he's going to have to earn his spot in the team next year, which is probably something he's not been used to in the past, like when he was close to all Australian wingmen in his last year.
So, I think I'm different to most North fans in terms of contracts and stuff. But I mean, I know personally, if I was offered like the 5-year deal and move clubs and stuff, sets me up for a decade, I'd be like, yep, all right. It's like why it's why I didn't begrudge, you know, Wellesley for taking that Collingwood deal.
No, 100%.
I mean, I don't know what Taz's deal is like as Richmond, but I'm guessing it's on a little bit more coin than North offered him.
Yeah.
That type of thing. It's like, well, like when it's your last deal or your chance to get your big deal. I mean, you still got to, you know, loyalty only stretches so far when you.
No, that's right. It goes both ways, loyalty as well. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be. I mean, the what if always gets me is I wonder what would have happened if Reece Shaw had stayed coach. Like, would Polek have just been at the end of last year, but he still had some more value, being like, I'm out of here.
You know
what I mean? Like,
Who knows?
Who knows? And he could have found something somewhere else, or maybe not. Maybe no one else wanted him, but sliding doors.
Certain
AFL columns.
Yeah, true. So what type of players do you think we need to recruit or look at in this year's draft, like as far as looking at the whole overall list?
Yeah, I have to be honest in terms of the actual individuals in the draft, that's not my area of strength. And there'll be plenty of people out there who will know intimately who those guys are, but in terms of player types that North needs, I think the two obvious ones are key defenders and small forwards. I know the small forwards you've already touched on, but I mean, key defenders, I mean, look at the list right now, there's three. There's Ben McKay, Josh Walker, it's Aiden Corr, and Aiden missed more or less the entire year last year. So I can't imagine I know we have preseason, but you'd think it's going to take a little bit of time to get back into the swing of things. So there's literally three. Whether they have their eyes on someone from the state leagues that's kind of like a ready-made sort of you can play around one next year, I don't know, or whether they want to go to the draft. I'm a little I mean, I know the reports say with Jared Brander, he wants to play as sort of the second or third tall forward, which is a little annoying because if he wanted to play as a sort of third tall defender, I think North would be the perfect spot for him.
Yeah, yeah. 100%.
But that seems to be sort of off the table with him wanting to play as a forward. So, I mean, yeah, I think key defenders and small forwards. I mean, when you look, there are a lot of key forwards now. They've got a lot of general forwards. The wild card for me is what they try to do with their half backs. Because, yeah, obviously have Zeeble and Hall at the moment. Yeah. Do they think Flynn Perez can get back after his second knee reco to, and what time frame do they think with him? Do they look at, say, someone like, I mean, I'm just throwing out names here. Do they think Lazaro with his speed can be better suited to taking the game on, the game in front of him from halfback?
Yeah.
So that's the wild card, which I don't know how they'll approach. But I think key defenders and small forwards after we take Horn Francis at pick one.
Then
we'll see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, Brander's an interesting one. It's a bit strange to be saying, yeah, I want to play as a second, when you don't have a, you know, second or third forward, when you don't have a club. Like, you'd be happy to get drafted anywhere, you'd think, at this stage of his career. Like, I don't think he's got that much leverage where he can pick and choose where he wants to play and all that sort of thing. But, yeah,
good luck with him, I suppose. Xavier Richards, I think, from Sydney a couple of years ago, who sort of turned down Sydney's contract decision and thought he can get more, and then... And then a couple of months later, he had nothing, and he was
I know.
It's a fine line, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, we'll see what develops. I think they may look at key position defender, like whether it's a draft or a mature age body. Like, there's a lot of talk of Sam Skinner, as you probably would have seen, but I'm not too sure if the club's, you know, got someone else in mind or anything like that. So where there's a delisted free agent possibly out there, delisted player from another club or something like that. So we'll.
Skinner's an interesting one, isn't he? Because, I mean, he was there at the preseason. And, I mean, there's a couple of scratch matches he played as a forward. And, I mean, he didn't. I'm not being too harsh in saying he didn't get close to it and didn't look up to it as a forward. And then he went back in the sample for the last couple of months of the year and looked.
Yeah, that's right.
And so you think that the club already has the intel on his personality and how he'd fit in terms of an intangible point of view, and now it's just a matter of will he fit in as a defender. So that's actually a really interesting one to see whether Skinner would actually want to come back to a club that tried him and cut him.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's obviously a lot more mature now. He's like 24 now, so maybe he's just because usually it takes a few years for you to develop your game, I suppose. Especially key position players, it takes them a while, and you become a lot smarter. You get in the gym more, and you know your body as well a lot better too. So yeah, we'll see what happens with that one. I'm not too sure. So are you happy with how the club is rebuilding then? Like, is this the right track?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's a couple of caveats on that. I think it's very. I mean, I've always been my personal opinion has always been a big proponent of making sure you keep the right amount of experience around your younger guys if you're going to do this full-scale rebuild like we're seeing now. I think with these cuts, it's very, very close to having not enough experience. I think it's like right on the borderline that it's okay for now, but once you have, if you start, say, next year with the same injuries that we saw at the start of this year, all of a sudden it's like, wow, there's really not a lot of leadership on the field. I think it's right on the edge. Wouldn't want too many senior guys to be unavailable come start of next year. So that part is right on the edge. In terms of the other stuff, I think it's gone well. With the caveat that what we saw game style wise, I mean, I was pretty confident all year that what we saw wasn't the finished article in terms of how Noble wanted the team to play, especially in terms of ball movement offensively. I would expect next year for that ball movement to be a little bit more expansive now that we'll see a second genuine tall forward alongside Larky rather than sort of Campbell or Cherry, who wasn't too bad. But now we'll see Coleman Jones and hopefully Conbin as well alongside Larky. It's a genuine key forward, someone that can hopefully threaten defences make defenses respect them, which then opens up the field a lot more. So you're not necessarily relying on the short chip as much as we saw by necessity this year. Doesn't start to happen a little bit more as 2022 rolls on, that's when I'll start to think, hang on, well, how's this progressing? But until then, I mean, I haven't seen any red flags this year in terms of player roles, how players are developed, the general mood, general vibe, and then the players coming in terms of, I mean, I'm a big rat for Coleman Jones, probably more than most, and I think we've all seen Horn Francis light up the sample enough times to know that, this guy's ready-made, and he's going to come in and make a difference straight away at 18.
He's very confident, isn't he?
I mean, I think given the spotlight that's going to come on him and the pressure that's going to come on him, he does, from afar, he does look like a personality that's going to relish that, and it's going to lap it up and not shy away from it, but instead grow into it, which is great for him. It's great for North Melbourne. I know if I can put my North Melbourne media hat back on from a flashback to a few years ago, it's great from a media point of view, a marketing point of view, because that guy could be the guy that gets you more Friday nights, more Saturday nights, more prime time, more exposure, which then leads to more members, more free-to-air games, obviously. And then with this midfield that you're building, all of a sudden, I mean, it writes itself in terms of, Horn Francis leads a midfield of Simpkin, Luke Davies, Uniac, Taron Thomas, and then that's the thing that gets people to tune in.
Yeah, 100%.
With the caveat that as long as the game style keeps evolving, especially offensively next year, I think everything's on the right track. Obviously, we all need patience, but can't find any red flags at the moment. Let's put it that way.
I mean, do you think we need to work? Defensively on that side of the game as well. Like, does it have to be a bit of a balancing act? Obviously we want to work on an attacking side and pick the moments when we do go down the corridor. But what about defensively? Do you think we've got a lot of improvement left in that? Because I found this year, I'm not too sure what the statistics are, but I found when teams move the ball with purpose and with a bit of speed, we really struggle to defend that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I think that ties back to what we were talking about before, about the forward pressure.
Without
that forward pressure, teams just bounce it out of the north forward half too easily. And everything starts in the back half. And teams are so good these days, especially, your top, six, seven, eight teams at locking the ball in your forward half. So if you don't let them do that, if you let them do that and don't do it yourself, you just parked in the back half the whole time. I mean, if you look at our inside 50 differential we were last in the league. We improved obviously a little bit late, but the first sort of 12, 13 weeks, we were last in the league by a long way. And then once your forward pressure, that actually works as a defensive and offensive mechanism.
In terms of
it stops guys from moving, and then you're also creating turnovers, which you then score for. I thought the midfield balance improves throughout the year. And then also, once that forward pressure is better, then guys like Benny, like Ben and Core, assuming he's fit, and the rest of the back six and seven, all of a sudden it looks like they're defending much better. When in reality, they've actually been defending quite well this year. They've just been just slammed by such high quality entries that, Silvani and Scarlett couldn't do anything about it.
No, that's right, exactly. Yeah, when you got a fullback like Tarrant sort of struggling to stop someone because the ball's just moving far too quick, then there's obviously a question mark on what the pressure is going on up the field in it.
If I learned from when I was at North and hassled the coaches, and somehow instead of telling me where to go, they actually put up with me and humoured me. It's that we see the result of something and we see the last person sort of, in screen or close to the ball, and we think it's their fault, when in reality, what caused the goal actually happened sort of 8 to 9 to 10 plays upfield that caused the domino effect. Which is where the forward pressure comes in and the work around the ball. I have all the faith that'll continue to improve naturally as the best 22 gets locked in and the team sort of gets more familiar with each other, really.
100%. Just one final one. Where do you see Tristan Cherry next year? Obviously, they've kept him at the club. With Comden coming in, obviously, I think he from what I understand, you wanted to go to St Kilda to probably have an opportunity. Do you think there's a possibility that, like, if Goldstein sort of, I don't know, starts falling off a bit, which can happen, I suppose, you know, when you reach your 30s, that he could be the number one ruck in 2 years? Or do you think we should have just taken a St Kilda offer of the future third rounder?
Well, I mean, I don't know how he fit. I don't know how he fit into St Kilda, but that is probably a different story.
Yeah.
To be honest. I don't see how he fits into the way they play. But I mean, he's got 1 year left on his contract. I think the way I look at it, I mean, I'm looking at the depth chart now. He'd be second in line as a pure ruck after Goldie, because I would imagine Coleman Jones will start as play all year as that second tall second ruck. Mm. And then I assume the plan with him is to eventually move him in as another one ruck once Goldie's. Done it about 5 years' time. But
Hopefully.
Five years at least, he's getting 300. I think his future is as a ruck, as basically, I guess, hopefully it's like three quarters of Shane Mumford, just and without the crude physical acts. Whether he gets the opportunity, I'm not sure. To be honest, because you would imagine Coleman Jones and Conbin are ahead of him as a forward ruck now.
Yeah, 100%.
And who knows how Edwards will develop. He's obviously still very, very green. So I think his shot is as a ruck. And I mean, if Goldie's fit, you're going to play him. So don't know where he'll get his shot.
I'll be the same, I'm not sure.
And I think the reason that North didn't take that third round pick, only speculating, is that it's, I think, at the end of next year, he'd still get a future third round pick anyway. Because he's tall and he's useful in the right situations. And teams will always do that. You look at rucks that have bounced around the league for ages, despite not offering that much, really. And Cherry can offer more than quite a few of them. So. I think he's relying on a couple of injuries, to be honest, as blunt as that sounds.
Sounds like it. Anyways, Ricky, where can people find your work?
Find them on theshinboner.com. Obviously, it'll be a bit quiet now for the next couple of months, but some big plans for 2022, which I'll keep to myself for now, because
very good.
Still working out the kinks and seeing if it actually works. But big ideas for 2022. Theshinboner.com, on Twitter at RickM18. That's about it.
Definitely. I recommend following his work. I've read your articles for a while now, you do some really good stuff. I definitely recommend all North supporters to follow his work. I'll put a link of work on the site, on my podcast, and we'll go from there. Anyways, Ricky, I won't hold you up much longer. You've been very generous with your time, and I'll hopefully chat to you soon.
Thanks for having me. This is great fun.
So that was Rick. It was really good to have him on the show. We covered a lot of topics. Probably reassured me of things like letting someone like DeMont go, which I was a bit unsure of, but you can certainly understand it, and it brought a really good perspective to the whole discussion. Did Rick obviously talked about the club's trajectory and how that's going as well. I definitely recommend checking out his work at theshinboner.com and give him a follow at RickM18. Obviously, he does a lot more work during the season. He's obviously got big plans in 2022, like he said, so definitely give him a follow. As for the next show, it'll probably come out in the next few days. I'm working on a couple of things. I can't really say. I'm trying to get a draft expert on possibly in the next couple of days, so we can talk about things, what sort of players are in this year's crop. Anyways, that'll do for me. Today's shout-out will go to David Teague. Bye for now.